Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Join us today. Hello to the Christian Television Network audience out there. Join us is Pat Hamilton.
Hello there.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
We are speaking about a prophetic word today. A prophetic word that was given on November 22nd, 2013. Man, I can't. It's like 1963, 2013. And it was 50 years apart. It just took place. And if you heard earlier that it's just a significance of 50 and a place of redemption. And you would have heard Dr. King just speak about, or you saw him speak about, and if you didn't, you can go to the VFN Torch and see, about the redemption of the soul of America and what we think, what we want, and what we feel, that redemptive aspect of our soul. And as the church, you know, we get renewed, our soul is renewed and transformed, goes through a metamorphosis as we follow Jesus and become his disciple. He talks about that in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And so we as the church, it's our responsibility to begin to preach the word of God to help America's soul be redeemed, which is Americans. It's not land. I mean, you talk about Israel, you're not talking about a physical aspect of it as much as you are talking about the people itself. And in that, on November 22nd, we're about to hear a word that was delivered by Kim Clement about our president. It's a very encouraging word, talking about the last 2 years, several things. You know, prophecy is conditional. That's why you have prophecies that are long ways off. It's like, oh my goodness, there's a lot of humanness between there. You know, you can make different turns during that time. So understand prophecy is conditional. Secondly, he talks about praying. Don't just say, hey, this is just a set thing. Understand we need to pray. And we always talk about, you know, pray. But listen to Kim Clement as he gives us word about the president of the United States. It's very encouraging. And tie it in together with what you just heard with Dr. King, what was interviewed in his house November 22nd, 1963 by CBS News, when he says about the redemption of the soul of America.
You know, I've been watching this whole thing, and I've watched very little news about Obamacare. Of course it's going to influence me. So for a while, I just stopped listening to anything about it. I know there's wrongs and there's rights and all this, but can you put that aside just for a minute? There is a definite desire that has been in the heart of the enemies of this president to take him out. Now, it's not impossible. And I have prayed against that since I got a prophetic word in Memphis, Tennessee, which, again, it just came like a mighty rushing wind. No thoughts, just happened. You'll hear that shortly. But and Wednesday I spoke about having dreams and visions. One of the dreams was about somebody dying and the end of an era of cancer. That's going to be told in a few minutes. But also a cancer that is eating this nation that has to be cut out. And if it's not cut out, it's going to get worse. And we're going to destruct from within. That's why you heard what I said on the TBN interview, and you can find it March the 5th, 2002, that the dream has not yet been fulfilled of Martin Luther King. That dream is now being fulfilled to a degree by this, the president that has been chosen, President Obama. Now, you may be getting really mad at me and saying, you don't know anything about the politics, and he's a liberal, and he's this. I understand all of that. Again, put yourself in my position. God says you qualify. Now I'm going to show you something. It is about 4 or 5 in the morning. I don't know what time it was. I have this distinct, clear dream, vision. I'm standing with the President of the United States. In his right hand, he has a glass of vodka. I don't know if he drinks vodka. I don't care. It may mean something else. But he has this glass of vodka, and he's drinking it, just talking away, chatting with me, and we speak about various things, and I am saying to him, this is a fulfillment. You've made some crazy decisions, but this is a fulfillment of prophecy. And while we're discussing it, I noticed we're at a baseball field, and we're behind there, and he's talking about Michelle. And as he's talking about her, it comes to me suddenly that there is a secret weapon. Now, I know that's all crazy stuff, but bear with me. That has not been recognized or understood or comprehended as something that could destroy this man. Now, please hear it as that may be something that could kill him or could destroy his presidency and his what he's doing. Then I said these words to him under the Spirit of God. God does not want the first African-American president to leave his office in shame. God wants you in these next 2 years to bring honor to your people and to this office as a president. You have a chance. Now, I know people are watching me now. No, not my warriors, people that represent that this president, that these next few years, it's vital. Now, a lot of you are saying, well, Kim, you don't understand Obamacare. You know, I don't care about Obamacare. The thing that I do care about is that medical science is progressing so quickly that this is going to be a very short-lived situation. Try and see a little bit further now. I have a dream. The dream is being fulfilled before our very eyes. We don't agree with some of the policies, but we have hate towards the first African-American president. Tell me that's right. Christians, tell me that's right. No, it's not. Our duty is to pray that whatever God set in the White House, whatever needs to be fixed up, whatever needs to be exposed, whatever needs to be done, must be dealt with immediately. And that secret weapon, whatever it is, must be deemed useless and helpless and not effective. Okay, that's what I saw. Then I said this to him. I hope I've still got my audience. I hope they're all spitting at me right now. Then he said, I want you to look at one of your children. And the president looked at me and he had a teary-eyed. And I said, you have a special spot for her. And I said to her, you need to watch over her. For your child shall become an African-American woman president and will fulfill some of the things that you wished and desired that you could not do because of political powers and being politically correct. Your child will do it. Now, some of you are saying, well, Jesus would have come by then. Stop. Please. We heard that 70 years ago. Now, think about it as if he is coming, but we are to occupy until he comes. President Obama, listen to me. Whoever gets this to you, these next few years, God is going to come and visit you. You're going to have dreams. Just like God gave Babylonian kings dreams in the presence of Daniel. There are prophets in this country that love and will pray for you and your family as I do. However, in your descendants, one in your very house, I have anointed to become a president of this nation. What will bring great honor and glory to the African-American people and will bring pride, great pride, to the people of the United States of America. Watch over her, Michelle. Watch over them, but watch over her and form that which is godly and upright in her. For she shall surely hold up light to this nation. Now, when I heard all of this, and as I was speaking to him, I could sense there was a humility about this president, Barack Obama. I sensed a humility. He had been humbled. He had been humbled to the point of being so open and a changed man. Are you going to give him a chance? I'm not here advocating for him. I'm just telling you, I heard that the enemy would like, as plotted, to take him out. And let me tell you, there are millions that would love to see that, sadly. But I want you to know, God spoke something in advance and warned me in the dream and said, I'm calling you to pray without opinion. Don't watch news. I want you to pray for him and Michelle and those children because of what I have planned for the future of this nation. A cancer will be cut out. And a cancer within this nation has to be cut out in order for God to send light and to send rain. Now, Neil, take it from there. And there will be other things I'll share, but I'll do that later. Let's share what did come out in 2009.
Yes. I have to gather my thoughts after what he shared with us there. It's so powerful. I mean, remember this moment in time. So, sorry.
What you say, I'll tell you what's happening to you, Snail, is you're sensing the compassion of God. You're sensing God's point of view. Yes. You're sensing God's viewpoint, I should say. It's so different to ours. We judge things as people do things, and then we say, well, this disqualifies you. Oh, good, you did something good for that. Oh, that qualifies you, prisoner. Okay, no, you did something bad, so that disqualifies you. They all did something bad. Come on. But the point is this that moment in time that he's feeling, that Martin Luther King actually saw and prayed for, and we wanted to be destroyed because of mistakes and things he's done wrong, whatever. That's not the case. Now, God has so much good that he's about to do. So what you really been happening to you, because it's happened to me, is you're getting into the actual moment, and then you're seeing the future. And whenever you get carried to the future, you get a glimpse of the future, that's what happens. That's why people that have heart attacks and stuff, they cry a lot afterwards. I watched David Letterman weeping after his heart attack. It's because they have a theophany moment. Whether they like it or not, there's that moment of eternity that they touch. And that's what's just happened.
Powerful prophecy was given from Memphis on October 25th, 2009. I have to remind you, Memphis is no ordinary city, an ordinary town. Memphis is where Martin Luther King was actually assassinated. You have to have that context in mind when the prophet goes to that region, to that very soil, and gives this incredible prophecy that you're about to hear that is so perfectly aligned with the vision that he just had 50 years after the assassination of JFK. I have to give you a little more context about it. Just simply is not coincidence that that vision was given to him 50 years after JFK's assassination. Do you know, University of Mississippi in 1962, James Meredith, an African-American veteran, Air Force veteran, tried to go to the University of Mississippi. He was denied several times. The governor of Mississippi personally withstood against him so that he could not do it. And President Kennedy, along with Martin Luther King, through a presidential order, made it so that he sent troops in so that he could go attend that university safe. It was step one of what we're seeing now. Before there can be an African-American president, there first had to be an African-American student in a regular university. Another instance, spring of 1963, the same year that Kennedy was assassinated. In Birmingham, Martin Luther King launched a campaign along with JFK in Birmingham. Birmingham was known as the most segregated city in America. And Birmingham City Commissioner Eugene Conner used police dogs and high-pressure fire hoses to put down the demonstrations of the African-American people on the streets. You've seen that footage, the classic footage, the vintage footage of fire cannons, water cannons being, you know, sprayed on these people, and they're being pelted, hit to the ground. President Kennedy then sent in troops, and this was in the spring of 1963, so that they could be established there. They could have rights, and he gave a speech to the nation when this happened. University of Alabama also, once again, in 1963, withstood against an African-American student. Riots broke out. Kennedy went in, provided troops so that an African-American student can go to that university. I'm just saying all this, that there are different levels, different steps. It's not coincidence to me that this vision that Kim has just shared with you happens on the 50th anniversary of JFK's assassination. We've shown you what Martin Luther King thought on the day of this assassination, how he knew what was going to happen. Now let's go into this prophecy from Memphis, the very soil where Martin Luther King was actually assassinated. Keeping in mind what Kim just said, remember, pieces of the puzzle connect. We're going to show you this prophecy. You're going to see about the enemy's plot to come against this president. This president's in office now, President Obama, but then also an astounding prediction. And I say that with all humility, prediction about a future president who's going to be an African-American woman. Go.
For they have predicted another one shall die in office. It shall not be so. For this president shall leave his office, bringing honor to the African-American people. But they will say, now will there be another? And God says, there will be another. It shall be an African-American woman that I shall raise up to stand in office, and you shall be proud. For in Memphis, Tennessee, you shouted out the word of the Lord. Where people of this nation that are enemies of the cross have said, we will bring to shame this race, But are you not Americans and citizens of the kingdom? No, you will not be brought to shame. There will not be another unnecessary death. There will not be another unnecessary assassination.
Just a powerful prophetic word. There will not be another unnecessary assassination. People of this nation that are enemies of the cross have said, we will bring to shame this race. But are you not Americans and citizens of the kingdom? No, you will not be brought to shame. There will not be another unnecessary assassination. Then also Kim prophesies, there shall be an African-American woman that I shall raise up to stand in office. We're seeing how the prophetic pieces of the puzzle come together. You know, I'm thinking about all the things that have happened in America, in the news. We've heard about the debt ceiling. We've heard about the debt crisis. This nation is going down, the financial crisis. It's because of the president. It's because of the leaders in Washington, D.C.
We'll get back in just a moment. We're hearing this. This is pretty powerful. This just came out November 22nd, 2013, right? You know, yeah. And we want to share what God has said to us in regards to this quickly so that we can give some context, because it bears witness to what the Lord has been saying to us. And it's encouraging to see that. And also Steve Bailey, yes, who we had a chance, the very same thing that he was speaking about when we were at one of the television stations.
That's right.
And talking about how things are going to turn. We'll be right back after this message.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
It's one of the most significant decisions you'll ever make. With Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller, and we're talking about the person you choose to marry. Here's Gary Thomas.
A good marriage is like a gift that keeps on giving. I have been blessed literally every day of my life because of one decision I made as a single man that I wanted to marry Lisa. And I've seen others that have to carry a burden literally every day of their life because they made a foolish marital choice. Mm-hmm. You know, if you buy a house you don't like, well, you'll take a financial hit, but eventually you can save up and move into another neighborhood. If you get a car that's a lemon, you trade it in and you count your losses. Marriage isn't like that. It changes who you are. It becomes a part of your life. And if singles want to make one wise decision in their life next to becoming a Christian, this is the one that has to be thoughtful, with counsel, driven by the truth of Scripture.
More insights from Gary Thomas on our daily 30-minute radio program on this station or at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
Listen, I'm telling you, there's nothing more beautiful than family. I know you may have had some difficult experiences in your natural family. A family reunion might put chills up your spine. But listen, the family of God is not like that. When you find out that you get around a family who honors their father, who honors Father God, who have in common their loyalty to Jesus Christ and a desire to follow his ways. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. Listen, Vine Fellowship Network is a network of abiding churches. You may have tried everything, but it's time just to be. It's time to be the church. Maybe that's for you. Maybe you're ready to take the step and again say, you know what? I believe that I can be family, the family of God, through the blood of Jesus Christ. Maybe that's for you. Go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Vinefellowshipnetwork.org, where we're loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John. We just heard a prophetic word given by Kim Clement. Kim Clement, and you can find out more details about it on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com, and you can see the entire, because it was really about maybe about 2.5 hour talk building up to that, even when he said, I'm qualified. Because he was raised up in South Africa during apartheid. And God had used him, based on what he's saying, to speak that there would be a black president over South Africa, which at that time, the man that God had planned to be the president was in jail. Mm-hmm. And God took that whole situation, and who would have ever thought that the man in jail would be like Joseph, that would eventually be the president. I saw a beautiful picture of how that works. And that's why he talked about qualifying. But we want to say this, what the Lord laid on our heart in the context of that. First of all, it's encouraging to see, to lock our faith into that there's going to be a turn.
Yeah.
There's going to be a humble. And humility is this. To be humbled means I'm aware of God. I'm dependent on God to bring me out of this, you know, humility before God and man.
Which is a distinct difference from humiliation. People sometimes associate the both.
Yeah.
It's not what
No. That's not what he prophesied. That's not what but if we don't humble ourselves, we will be humiliated, is what Robinson with James Robinson had said. If anybody else. Yeah. And that's relayed the article, hopefully, in the context of this. But humble yourself or be humiliated. But that this setup, it's easier to understand how all of a sudden, we're talking about spiritually speaking, how could somebody just suddenly turn in this positive light? Well, first of all, anybody can do it. You know, I did. You know, one day I was going left and I went right. And because of Jesus. But if you've been set up, if you've been set up and you had this big Woodrow Wilson progressive wave pushing against you, you can't even catch your breath. You can imagine every moment is so packed out, you know, as agendas are transformational things are trying to take place, as they said it, because he was selected before he was elected, is what the JFK Library. But what, briefly share with us in these few moments, you know, God revealed to you before he was in office that he was being set up.
Yeah. I've shared this before, but what has happened, and we're going to make sure it's related on this article. Right during the election, before either party chose who their nominee was going to be to represent their party, it was actually right when the Reverend Jeremiah Wright thing was exposed and the nation was watching this, the race. We're talking about the 2008 presidential.
Just whatever he was preaching was going out.
Whatever he was saying, it was coming out.
It was like some sort of...
Okay. No. Yeah, thanks for clarifying that. So it was during the 2008 race for presidency. And Barack Obama at that time was just still in the race with Hillary Clinton at the time. They were
he was Senator.
Senator Ryan. And I thought, as I was discussing this with many people and just praying over the election, that, you know, I didn't think it was going to go any further. Those were my natural thoughts at that time. And so I went to bed one night and God gave me a distinct, very clear dream. In the dream, the first scene was the president making a covenant, basically. Basically, that was going to...
Open up gay marriage and everything in the nation.
And that was way before but that was
God
the first
said, thing. God said, this is going to happen.
It's going to happen.
And it did.
And it did happen. Okay. The second part of the scene, I see the president standing in the center of the living room.
In the same place he made the covenant.
And he was elected president. Now, we fast forward, we didn't even know who his opponent was going to be or anything.
Right.
He was president of the United States.
Which means God already knew this was going to be the man, which confirms the word that Kim Clement was talking about as well, or vice versa, that he was selected.
Yeah. And I saw him with his arms folded in the center of the room, and it reminded me of the Time Magazine article when he was on the cover with his arms folded. Instantly, I thought about that picture in the dream. And then I saw two white-haired congressmen.
Suited men
in the back that were behind him. Mm-hmm. And they were giving congratulations, patting him on the back.
Right.
And then the very next scene, I saw the president dead in the middle of the living room floor with a chalk crime scene.
Yeah,
all around, you know, his head, around his body.
The body's on the ground. They actually draw out the body where it is.
Yes.
And so prior to it, that's when you woke up and said, hey, to your wife, he's been set up.
Yeah, I mean, I just shit right out of bed. I grabbed it. Like, oh, my, he's been set up. And God began to download all these things.
So we've been praying for him since because of that.
Yeah.
And then once he's in office, the Lord gave you another. What did the Lord say to you?
It was another dream. And basically for times... Maybe God revealed to me what the secret weapon was going to be.
Yeah.
I saw.
Because Kim Clement talks about the secret weapon.
Yeah.
And it's like they have something in hiding that at any moment they want to exercise it, they can.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't go their way, then they will exercise this particular thing. So we've been praying against that. We've been praying against
over
that.
Over 4 years. I mean,
yeah, for 4 years. Mm-hmm. We've been praying for the president and for Michelle, for Sasha and Malia, which he even says one of his daughters is going to be president.
Right.
And that was huge. But but because of that, we saw that.
Yeah.
And that compassion we began to have. So everybody, so many people think they have things figured out.
Hmm.
But they don't understand there's this evil. They have 3 or 4 steps, if not 100 steps ahead of what's going on. Everybody's focusing on the now, but they already thought this thing through and what they're planning on doing.
Yeah.
And
we encourage you to join us in prayer. We're going to make sure that the prayer for the president is related, and please pray that prayer and forward it to your friends.
And I think one of the key, what God showed, and we can't go into detail right now about it, is the fact that if you buy into hatred,
yeah,
you're feeding this whole wrong frenzy. And if you're a Christian and you're hating, hey, you know, it's not going to be good for you, because this is what the Word of God says, that if you can't love your brother who you can't see, if you hate him, you don't love God who you can't see. And we're called to love our president, love his wife and kids. We're in America. We can talk honestly about our value system and all that. But understand, you want God's protection over them. Pray for those in authority over you. And so we'll have a prayer available for you on this segment that you can get on the VFN Torch. Pray for those. Begin to pray for our president. Pray that this particular secret weapon thing is dismantled, deemed harmless. And we just say that now in Jesus' name.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them today at VFNTV.com. We have all their contact information for you, phone numbers, web addresses. Visit VFNTV.com and become a sponsor or a partner. Listen, do it today. It's your partnership, your giving financially, that is helping us take the gospel all around the world. Let's partner and do it together. VFNTV.com. Become a partner today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We're in this for the long haul, or until they take us down. We're in this thing. We are here all the way until the Lord says no. And we're excited about it. There are so many things going to happen and unfold. Understand that God is preparing himself a people across the world and across the nation. We believe there's going to be a third great awakening. There are men and women who may have bowed the knee, who may have done these things that everybody else has done. I mean, read our testimony. God's brought us out of all this. But when God redeems you, even if you bowed your knee, he'll forgive you. And so he said that he reserved for himself prophets that have not bowed their knee. Well, he's reserved for himself his son, Jesus Christ, that if we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, though we've sinned, though we've faltered, though we've made these mistakes and error, and the enemy seduced us or lured us or whatever, you know, whatever it is, that when you repent, God forgives you, and it's as if you never bowed your knee. So it's not about a self-righteous, hey, I've never done anything wrong. Well, you just did that wrong, because that's not true, and that's pride and can't be used. It's false humility. But understand that if, in fact, that you want, say, God, I want to be a part of what you're doing. I don't want to be on the sidelines. I want to be a player, as we talked about yesterday. I want to encourage you. Today is your day. Today is the day that you can say, you know what? I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life, the Lord of my life. And I want to be forgiven. God, forgive me for everything, all my compromise, where I've bowed my knee down, where I've sinned against you and sinned against others. Restore me, cleanse me, be the Lord of my life. I'm going to begin to learn how to be your disciple and abide with you on a daily basis. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Awesome. Go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, and find out more about how we made that very same decision. We met our God, our Father God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, and you just did too. And share your story with us. Let us know that what happened. And also go to iabide.org and learn how to abide with Jesus. You abide in him, he abides in you, and you're going to be very successful as he measures success in your life.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program. Keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN Radio on VFN TV and the Christian Television Network. I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
The secret. We found the secrets the inside secret. His head. That's what it was. And John Ramos.
Hello.
My goodness, if you missed our last program that we just had, powerful, a prophetic word given by Kim Clement about, tragic in regards to there's evil folks who are haters who have a secret weapon that they would desire to use on our president. Second part is pray for him that this particular secret weapon, person, plan, whatever it is, you know, doesn't take place. And we can actually pray, and that's not God's will. God's will is for our president to not leave the office shamed, yeah, but to leave on a good, a positive point. And he talked about a turn within the last 2 years of his presidency that will begin with humility towards God, I guess, and man, and things would just turn.
Yeah.
And we've been praying for quite some time that you have to understand, just pray that God would give our leaders and our president, for example, dreams that the voice of God would be in the heart of President Barack Obama so he could hear clearly what God has in store. And Job 33, you know, talks about God speaking to us when we're in our sleep. Jesus' name came to Joseph, a confirmation why he was in a dream. The famine came to Pharaoh. God spoke to him in a dream and had Joseph come interpret it. The baker and the cupbearer in the dream, and understand God speaks in dreams and visions, and that you may be thinking, how can I get past all these people that are trying to control our president and trying to prevent him from hearing what he needs to hear about a people that he's leading? Well, God can do that. Mm-hmm. God can, no matter where he's at, you know, God can speak to him. And we want to pray for him. We have a prayer up that we've been praying for over 4 years now. And like Kim Clement said, and we've always said, but, you know, as Christians, you should be loving folks, not hating folks, period, anyway. And the enemy's divided our nation up to different sects, you know, party systems and the crazy, all kinds of divided things. But we're one people, and the church is one. When God writes to the church, he would write to the church of a region, of a city. And God sees us as a whole. He doesn't see us as part. And so when you're praying for our president, for example, and pray protection and pray against, do not buy into the lies of these enemies. Pray for our president and against anything and anyone, the same way we pray for Israel, that every plan would be foiled, every attempt to harm Israel or our president or our nation would be foiled and stopped, and it would be rendered helpless, the weapons would. And they would be exposed, and that no harm would come to our president, his family, to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Israel. And this has been our heart, and that's God's heart. God, he says, this is good to be able to do that. Speaking of that, we want to be able to talk about how to have a peaceful life. You know, a wisdom moment for today. Is from Proverbs chapter 1, verse 33. And this is so important because it talks about having a safe, easy, fearless life, if you would. Psalms 133 says, "Whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm." Think about that. That's so powerful. Whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. And when you think about, you know, listening to the Lord, that person will live in safety. Safety is defined as a state of being safe, freedom from occurrences of risk of injury, danger, or loss. You think about that. Another part of the definition is secure from liability of harm, injury, danger, or risk. Did you ever think about listening to God? You've been listening to everybody else. Did you ever think about listening to him? Think about it. He's saying if you listen to him, he who listens to him will live in safety. You know why? Because God's plans are good towards us. He has plans to bless us and to prosper us and defend us from us. There's a lot of things going on continually trying to harm us. But if we will listen to him, you know, for example, a prudent man sees danger and prepares, but a fool keeps going and suffers for it. Well, you have to first hear God to tell you there's danger coming. If you listen to him, it's not that danger won't stop, but God will prepare you to survive the danger that's coming because you listened to God. Then he says, whoever listens to God will also be at ease. I mean, think about the word ease. The word ease is defined as freedom from, and notice that the word you'll hear over and over again in the definition, freedom from. Freedom from labor, pain, or physical annoyances. You'll have tranquil rest and comfort. Just this ease in your life. Freedom from concern, anxiety. You have solitude, a quiet state of mind. You see them folks, it's like, they're like just anxious all the time and just plotting and planning. It's like, I'm just looking at you, I get worn out. And you find out, they're not listening to God. They're not listening to God. They're running, they're checking with themselves, but they're not checking with God. And so that's what we're telling you. We tell you you need to abide. This is what you're getting when you abide. You're listening to God. And more definition to be at ease is those who listen to God or live a life at ease. You're able to have a life at ease. It's freedom from difficulty of great effort, of freedom from financial need and a place of plenty. It's easy for you. Freedom from stiffness, constraint, or formality. You're just kind of relaxed. They say, you know, just take it easy. Just kind of take it easy. And you can enjoy life. And if you listen to us, you would think, well, my goodness, they're talking about, you know, some pretty major things going on. And it's like, but we listen to God. That's how we can laugh and enjoy and say, well, how can you be so peaceful in the midst of what's going on? It's like, well, because if you just listen to God. And that's what abiding is. He says, whoever listens to the Lord, whoever listens to me, Proverbs 1:33, will live in safety and be at ease. I mean, your life is, you're protected and you're enjoying this thing called life that God's given you. And finally, he says, and without harm. And harm is defined, or fear of harm, without fear of harm. And fear is defined as a distressing emotion aroused by impending doom, danger, evil, pain. Like, here it comes. Oh, my goodness. I knew it was always going to happen. Oh, my goodness. It's like, you don't listen to God. Mm-hmm. You don't listen to God. Somebody says, well, I listen to God. He said there's impending doom, but he's going to give you wisdom on how to be able, you have nothing to fear. God's going to protect those that are his. He's going to protect you like a good fig. He's going to put a mark on you, and no, nothing's going to come near your dwelling. You have to understand. If you listen to God, you understand that. And without fear of harm, and harm is defined as physical injury, mental danger or hurt, moral injury, evil or wrongdoing. So many people are scared to follow God because they have a fear of not being safe anymore, not having an easy life, and fear of harm coming their way. And the reality was the opposite's going to take place in your life. This is what he says. He says in Proverbs 1:33 in this wisdom moment, whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. How do you do that? Find out how you can do that at iabide.org. iabide.org.
You know, it's been amazing, you know, when you think about what was just shared and everything that's been going on with Israel. You know, we had a chance to be with Congressman Jeff Miller last night, and we shared upon that earlier in the first hour. And if you missed it, you definitely want to catch it. But we want to also give a continual encouragement to lift Israel up in prayer. You know, we're facing some very difficult, challenging times, and I'm believing in the next 6 months you're going to see some really interesting things that happen, and we can't be asleep during this time. I mean, everything is aimed towards pushing Israel over the cliff. Then if we're not aware, if we're not watchmen on the wall, this is not going to be good. It was said last night at that meeting, APEC was putting that meeting together, that this was the most attended, highest attended meeting of someone who's been, you know, going there. In fact, there was a former congressman from the same area that actually was there at that meeting. And so a lot of people are concerned, but we just don't want to get information and just tuck that away. We want to keep that on the forefront of our hearts and of our minds, and just something that's been, you know, on our hearts for a long time. And actually, after I left that meeting, I just kept thinking, woke up this morning thinking about Israel and the apple of God's eye. And we want to encourage you, pray like never before, commit to praying. There's an app, and we're going to try to make that available for you on the Torch. It goes off every single day when you set it up on your phone, and at 12 noon, it'll sound, it'll alarm, and it encourages you to pray for Israel. Make that your commitment, that you're going to pray for Israel at least one time a day, and pray for their safety. Pray that nothing will happen, and that our policies towards Israel will change, and that we will see a great harvest of souls come out of the nation of Israel. Listen, God loves the Israelis. He loves the Muslims. He loves those in Iran. He loves those in Syria. And the strategies of the world is not going to win them. The only thing that's going to win people is going to be the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why every partner that's a part of VFN Radio and VFN TV is so important. Together, we are sharing the light of the gospel into the nations of the world. And as they hear the hope of Jesus Christ, listen, you know, if you get one perspective of the news, you're going to hear a perspective regarding, you know, in some of these other countries that they're all Muslims there. Listen, there are a lot of Christians in these, what you would think are Muslim nations. There are lots of Christians in Syria. There's a lot of Christians in Iran, in Egypt, all over. And so our hope is in Jesus Christ, and that and the light of the gospel continuing to spread in that region. It'll change hearts. It'll change lives. And that's what it's all about.
And when you go listen to this segment, and we're going to a break, when you listen to this segment, go to the VFN Torch, VFNTV.com, click on the Torch, and look for who does God love.
Yes.
Who does God love? It's going to be a related link. But understand, God loves the human race. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I don't know if you heard about the podcast, but I'm excited about the podcast.
Talk to us.
The podcast for VFN TV, the Daily Radio Program. Look, think about it. Mm-hmm. A podcast, this is what a podcast does. It happens without you doing anything.
Oh, that's good.
Once you subscribe to the our podcast, the entire day's programs, the teachings that are loosed, if they're available on VFN TV, released, the highlights, you know, the each individual highlights that you see on the VFN Torch. I mean, this automatically, if you subscribe to the podcast, and it's a podcast, it will just download somehow miraculously into your computer, into your iPhone, into your Android. Mm. And you don't even need to be hooked up in the Wi-Fi or anything like that.
It's good.
It just will automatically download it, so you can listen to what you want to listen to when you want to listen to it, because it's sitting inside your phone, your iPod, your Android, your computer. It's sitting in there like it's a song that you purchased and sits in your playlist. That's what a podcast is, which is pretty cool, because what that means is this, that everything that's ever happened in the broadcast, all these different topics and wisdom and everything that we're sharing with you to encourage you, but also to encourage others, that you can have them yourself. You don't have to buy them. You don't have to sign up to get something. They just download automatically through the podcast. Make sure you check it out. Go to VFNTV.com and subscribe to the podcast today. Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.
Hello, hello.
I was talking more about the Ford thing, not necessarily
Ford.
Any kind of
Ford?
Yeah, the Ford F-150 low overhead type
head thing?
Bump, blood sacrifice.
Okay. That
seems that I just think we just had another one up under the studio.
Because it's
studio,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're gonna have to put pads around him.
I'm telling
just
you.
Just pads.
Yeah.
Hey, whatever.
He just gets he's so intelligent. Sometimes he just disconnects from all things.
Totally.
And the world just bumps into him.
See, totally.
And he's shocked. He's just shocked.
No,
what was that? That was a wall, Pat. That was a wall.
That was a wall.
Careful.
It could be all that stuff you spoke over me. I'm not sure. I don't know.
You know, I've been trying to break all this stuff. I've been watching it come to pass.
I think it's trying to break you. I'm not sure.
I know. Scary thought.
Anybody see my keys?
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Welcome back to VFN Radio on VFN TV, the Christian Television Network. Joining me is Pat and John. Yes, the world just happens to bump into Pat every now and then.
Every now and again.
And he's very introspective. Introspective. It's amazing. It's pretty intense. See? It's amazing, though. It really is. Very amazing.
We can study. Yeah. There's a lot to learn here just by observing. There is a lot to learn.
I mean, and the fact that he's looking at, he knows exactly he's right compared to us. Obviously,
come on.
Yeah, he's our Einstein.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it Einstein or is it Bubba Stein? Who was that one?
Bubba Gump or something.
Yeah, Bubba Gump.
Forrest.
Well, fiction. 81% of American Christians, according to George Barna, not picking up their Bibles. Well, maybe that's why Costco, which is like Sam's and a couple other ones out there, had listed the Bible, the Word of God, as fiction. They printed the labels and had labels stuck on the Bibles and said the Word of God is fiction. Fiction. It makes you think about, was it Tyndale that got strangled to death? And
Wycliffe.
And then Tyndale, they dug him out of his grave, burned his bones, and scattered him on the River Swift just so we can have the Bible. And now we're actually, you know, calling it fiction. While if we read it, we would understand, my goodness, it's time for us to stand up and pray for Israel. And this is not... You got to hear this. You got to hear Costco now is backtracking on this whole thing, but it's amazing. Why would you even do that unless you have a strategy to remove the Word of God? Well, it was removed before Tyndale and Wycliffe began to bring it out a few years ago. Listen up.
A social media uproar erupted after a pastor discovered mislabeled Bibles at a California Costco store. The National Warehouse chain says it was an innocent mistake, but some say the incident is a statement about the state of America today. Our Caitlin Burke reports.
Caleb Kaltenbach relies on the Bible to do his job. He's a pastor at Discovery Church in Simi Valley, California.
We're just trying to reach people where they are and share the gospel with them.
Kaltenbach was recently shopping at Costco for a gift when he decided to stop in and look at the Bibles. He says what he saw shocked him.
It was labeled fiction, and it stuck out to me because I've never seen a Bible labeled fiction.
The Discovery Church pastor snapped this picture and posted it on Twitter for his followers to view. It didn't take long for it to get national attention.
The picture went viral, and here we are today.
Tweets started to come in from people both blasting and supporting Costco. One woman wrote, "Labeling the Bible as fiction is insulting. If they had labeled the Quran fiction, libs would be furious." Another person said, "Is it not fiction? I think Costco has this correct. Please provide factual data to support otherwise." Costco has since apologized, Calling it an error, they're working quickly to correct.
Our CEO, he's a devout Catholic. You know, he obviously loves the Lord, and you know, this isn't something that he was purposely trying to do. It was a mistake.
I totally believe him. I believe it was a mistake. I don't believe there's some kind of evil genius behind the scenes, but I do believe that it's telling of where our nation is spiritually.
Caitlin Burke, CBN News.
And that's exactly how we feel, is that, you know, just because somebody says, I didn't intentionally mean when I said, let his blood be on our heads, right. I wasn't prophesying for an entire, and it's like, understand that is a word. It's like in God we trust, being moved off the coin, then back on the edge of the coin. Mm. And as we learned on, you can hear on VFN Radio, when we listened to Alan Barton talking about what happened and how we had to pay attention to what's going on and praying for our staff over our congressmen and women. But it's like, if you have a relationship with God, you don't even just, you love him, you're very careful how you treat the word.
Yeah.
And even sticking a sticker on the front cover of it would be kind of wild. But you can see this. If you go to the VFN Torch, you're going to be able to see this Bible where Costco, and understand that a company like that can hire folks who they made the choice themselves to be able to put that on there. It's not necessarily the head or what's going on, but it's the spirit of what's happening in America, because they're wanting to remove the knowledge of God, the Ten Commandments, wanting to pray out loud is being debated at the Supreme Court, which has kind of gotten real quiet. They need to actually debate out loud so we can hear what they're talking about praying out loud. and some serious, I mean, so the key, understand this. If you understand, and if you haven't yet heard this, you got to hear this. It was a download from God. America, how we got here and how we stay here. It's very important, because knowing that, and you can see it's available to, it'll be some little link or something on this particular segment that you can hear it, but you'll see how people gave their lives for us to be able to have the word. And what they would think about, somebody says, well, you know, Tyndale will just turn over in his grave. No, he wouldn't, because they dug him out of his grave and they burned him to ashes and scattered his ashes for transcribing the Bible so that we can read it on the River Swift. They strangled Wycliffe.
Yeah.
They strangled him. And the reason why Geneva is a big deal today is because the Word of God was the Geneva Bible was put together there.
In 1599.
And that's why you see all these good, and then the enemy's trying to come in to reclaim it as something else. But that's why you have the Red Cross there. That's why you have it's all the government. It's just amazing what's happening there in Geneva. But it's because the Word of God was there. And the reason why they ended up there doing the Geneva Bible is because they were ran off by the ones that were strangling and burning and killing the folks who were trying to get the Word of God transcribed in a way that we can actually understand it. And out of that came the Hamilton Conference, eventually, when King James became King of England and Scotland. And with that, that's when the King James Authorized Version, which was, we're not saying that's the only version, but at that point, he was trying to bring some sanity to all the breaking out of the word, and that was the one that was spread everywhere and made available at that time. And that was the language of the day. That was very powerful.
Yeah.
And the fact that Costco, I mean, the fact that somebody would put fiction on that when people pay these huge prices, because understand this, 151 years after the death of King James, this is the first king over united Scotland and England, which his mother was beheaded by the queen, by the way, in this process. 151 years after his death, that's when our founding fathers signed the Declaration of Independence from a king. That's how significant, because once you find out not where the Bible is, but of God, of the Bible, which you find out when you begin to read his word, it's a living, active, sharper than a double-edged sword word. It lets you know God reveals himself through his word to you. Then you find out, my goodness, we can be one nation under God.
Yeah.
I understand now how we can do that. But outside of God, we can't be one nation under God. So if we remove the word of God from America, the America as we know it will not be anymore, because it can only exist in our acknowledgement that all of our rights come from God, not from man, not from government, no tyranny. The very thing that they were escaping, the very thing our founding fathers were escaping, was tyranny. Was tyranny where a king puts himself and a queen puts themselves over the church. And so to switch your church, understand this, to switch churches, I mean, imagine how many Americans would be considered treasonous, right? If you switched your church from the Church of England to a different church, they would consider that treason because the king placed himself over the Church of England. And so to be able to find God and worship God freely, they had to go off in the woods and hide in different places. And the pilgrims came about, by the way, just so you know this. What's Kirk Cameron's
Monumental.
You need to see Monumental. Yeah. But anyway.
We'll make that related.
Yeah, because of persecution. They were being persecuted. They went through all types of persecution just to get to a place that they could worship the God of the Bible. And years later, when they write, our founding fathers write, understand, write the Declaration of Independence. When they write the Declaration of Independence, they're saying, listen, all of our rights come from God. That we're all created equal. We have to separate ourselves from tyranny right now because the Word of God and things like fiction at Costco's, and that's how it's happening in schools. This is being taught even in some churches. Listen, it's not fiction. It's so real that the devil's scared of it. Get it out and read it. Make it a part of your life. Abide with God. Go to iabide.org.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them at vfntv.com. Visit our sponsors today. We have all their contact information, their phone numbers, their web addresses. They're ready to hear from you. Visit our sponsors and partners at vfntv.com. Become a partner today. It's you partnering with us, giving and sowing financially that makes this all possible. VFNTV.com.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.